I wouldn't say it's so nice, because when you look at the fact that even if it's online, how many audiences are you going to get there? It's a, how much are you getting back, you know? And it's not every artist that's going to have the platform where there's going to be a certain amount of money that people are going to pay and all of those things. But they are shifts and movements.
Sebile, let's take a breather. When you come back, we'll continue with our conversation.
Okay, cool.
Ordinary people doing extraordinary things.
To educate, to build, to inspire, to motivate.
Coping with constant change in a technology-driven world. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, with Vetusileshi. With Vetusileshi.
Welcome back, our listeners. Thank you so much for still being with us. You're listening to your show Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow with Betusile Shiba. And I'm here today with Cebile Dlamini, Nkosi Mlangeni. She's a director, she's a scriptwriter, and of course, she's an actress. Welcome back, Cebile.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me again.
Before we went to the break, you were telling us a number of things about how the industry operates, about what you have achieved to date, about you guys, how you're adopting technology to help you deliver the message to the people, which I think is very interesting, because it means the shift is good. In the next coming 10 years, we would have figured out how to monetize, you know, being online and delivering your message online.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Cebile, let's talk about your education. You're very well educated. You're on your way to your master's already. Tell us about how the journey has been for you.
Yo, thank you for saying well educated. I started my diploma at the Durban University of Technology, and then I went to Tswane University of Technology, and I did my BTEC there. Then I went to Wits. And I did my honors degree in applied theater. And then I'm currently doing my master's degree at the Wits University of Technology.
Wow. So, first, back up. Most people, first of all, don't even think that you need to have so much qualification just to be an actor. But you are proving them wrong. I like that you're dedicated to your art. You're spending time mastering your art. So is this something that is well practiced across, or is just one of those cases for you to go all the way to master's?
So let me begin from my own background, right? Mm-hmm. I'm from a family where I remember once I at school I failed. I think it was our second term. I failed my second term, and then my dad said to me, we went shopping for food for the hostel. And my dad said to me, you know, if you want to be my child, you need to study.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, my father is deserted. I don't have a father. Oh, my dad like this. You know, for a very long time, that thing was in my mind. So sometimes I feel like I'm trying so hard to be my father's daughter.
Aww.
And then I look at myself now with the career that I have chosen. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, it's arts. People believe that acting is in their bodies. You are born an actor.
Mm.
There's people that believe in that. And there's something about needing to understand your art and your craft.
And understanding that thing.
Exactly. And finding a channel and finding your interest and finding your niche, which is something that some artists are really failing in, because they believe, oh, I'm a community theater artist, and I'm gonna do it like this. You know, I know that you have to do it like this. This is how other people are doing it. It's not about how other people are. It's finding your own niche and finding yourself. And I feel in my journey, in my ancestral given talent of art, which I believe I got it from my ancestors, not from the book. the book is helping me to understand that ancestral
to make it relevant, again. You know,
exactly, and to find myself and find my voice in this journey and find my voice and all of that. So I feel education is key.
I can relate with your father being tough on you with education, which I think most of our parents were. And I once said that when I told my father I wanted to do fashion, he was like, he wasn't for it. He was like, no, you're going to need to go and study something that's solid. Mm-hmm. And then you come back and tell you, we'll then come back and tell you, we'll talk about this. So it's every parent trying to push us to that. But I am proud of you that you're able to do art full time every day, kind of, and follow your passion, which is very brave. It's not everyone who can do that.
Exactly.
But what I would like to know, which I think our listeners would like to know, is it expensive to study art?
Wow. So let me take you through the journey of my art financial story. So for me, I was fortunate. Kuti, my mom, she is South African and my dad is Swati. I was fortunate, and then I was able to apply, but my first year I couldn't get NSFAS because I was late to apply for NSFAS because at home we're still running around the whole thing of where are you going to study. I was supposed to go and study in UP and do law in UP. Was supposed to do. Sometimes I say to myself, I wish my father was still there, but then my dad literally passed away the year before I had to go to university. I said to myself, oh my God, I still need my dad. I love my dad. I'm daddy's little girl. I love my father. But inside me, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to do drama. Like, no one is going to question me. I'm going to go to drama. I know. It's like, it feels bad, but it feels like, you know.
But either way, you were going to get on board and be proud of you at the end of the day.
So, I was able to get NSFAS on my second year. So I've never, like, literally my mother has never paid a cent for my school fees. I've never paid a cent for my school fees. Went to WITS, I got bursaries. When now I'm doing my master's, I've got bursaries. So
nice.
There's things out there. If we go out there and look for these things, they are there. And if we work hard and we really, really put our most in our schoolwork and we pass well, we are going to get things.
Okay, outside of bursary, how much is it? Just an estimate, you know?
Let's say roughly by that time, maybe both tuition and accommodation. I never really saw accommodation, but let me put it like 50. 50,000. That's roughly. That's a
per rough semester estimate. Or per year.
Yes, that's a per rough year. Estimate. Yes, okay. I didn't see. The thing is, I never saw.
You are
I never
so privileged. We saw that statement, and we were like stressed out on how to pay the money. I had to learn and start working on my second semester because I needed to pay bills. I needed to make money to pay bills because I knew that I come from a family of 6 kids, and I was the only one who needed varsity fees. Everybody else was on scholarship because they were studying in Swaziland. So I knew the reality. So I always knew how much I needed to pay, everything costed. So it is a privilege for you, which is good. But I'm glad to know that it is these institutions are not overpricing for the art department, which is good. So now you're doing your master's. What is your dissertation or thesis about? You've already hinted it earlier.
So it's intergenerational work, right? Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the role that I play as a facilitator. What do I do to make the stories come together? What do I do in the process? So I'm tracking, because I've been doing this work for 5 years. So I'm tracking I'm taking all the videos, all the things that I've been, you know, doing in the past 5 years, looking at the body, the voice, the story, and how all these things come together. People that are from two different eras, two different spaces. Already there's an old age, they're in one space and the kids are moving around. So what is my role? What is the role of the facilitator for this work to come together? So I'll be having my exam on the 12th of March at the old age home.
The best.
I know, and I'm still writing.
I like that you're pushing that in that industry. Some people have said, oh no, you just go and act. Why do you need degrees? And you are even raising it to master's, which is pushing other people to say, hey, it's not enough just to be a good actor. You need to have the background, you know, the qualifications. It's okay to be an academic person. So talking about you, your career, you've been in this career for a long time. How many years now? It's more than 10 years.
11, yes.
11 years. Wow, impressive.
Since 2011. Since 2008.
Wow, that's a long time to be in the industry. So would you say that it has been able to pay your bill and paying the cost of living?
I was fortunate to have a stable job, to work under an organization that had different umbrellas, and arts was one of them. So definitely we were being paid like normal salary, like I was a normal worker. So, but when I go into having to hustle for a job, looking for, trying to find work and all of those things, artists need to start making their own work, definitely, but then pushing that work as well is another, you know, chunk of money, finding people. When you get to a certain stage, yes, it pays well, but once you're still struggling, it's a hard one. Even sometimes when you're in that certain stage, there are certain times where it's just not paying.
Hectic. You know? So will you say which one pays more, theater or being on TV?
TV, obviously.
Oh, okay.
But theater, when you travel a lot, when you travel overseas and you get gigs outside, and when you find different things to do in the theater, not just acting. So when you're an artist, you need to somehow, it's not all artists that will succeed and be like just actors on TV and or on theater and then they succeed. But you must just find different platforms and different ways of, if the acting is not there for you or your script writing is not working for that phase, find something else. Okay, I'll do the lights, I'll be doing lighting, I'll be doing this, I'll be doing that.
Or costume, you know.
Yeah,
I've always wanted to do costume because I love fashion.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you can hire me in the meantime for free.
Definitely. Oh my God, free services, community work. Okay.
So tell me, obviously, when you are in the artist industry in South Africa, sometimes you don't know when your next paycheck will come. So obviously that pushes you to do, to be better in money management. What lessons have you learned throughout the year in that regard?
You need to save money. Mm-hmm. And it's sad for us because we are in an industry where there's pressure. You know, pressure. Once
to I'm look TV, good,
then now I must look this way. I don't have the time, Jim, to look a certain way. I look the way I want to look.
I know you're the only brave person I know.
And I live my life the way I want to live. If I feel I can afford this, I will afford it. But if I feel I need to save it, and I remember that there's a home as well, there's my mother I need to still look after. Not necessarily look after, but I need to be there for my mom. And so we are in an industry where there's pressure, and we need some people, they feel they need to live up to that pressure. Go and stay in Centen and go and stay way. Hey.
And drive this car and that car, you know.
No. Mm-mm.
I know you're not about that life. Yeah, the most liberated.
But it's getting there. I'll get those things. Yes. Definitely.
Yes.
You know, at the right time without any pressure from anywhere, because, you know, I don't want to find myself under pressure.
That's good. I like your approach. No pressure needed. Cebile, let's take another breather. When you come back, we'll conclude our conversation.
Cool.
Ordinary people doing extraordinary things.
To educate, to build, to inspire, to motivate.
coping with constant change in a technology-driven world. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, with Vetuslesh. With Vetuslesh. With Vetuslesh.
Thank you, our listeners, for still listening. It's been a great time discussing with Cebile, talking about the art industry, what artists are going through right now, and what changes they are making to make sure that they are adapting to the new norm. And of course, talking about her achievements and her academic achievement. Welcome back, Cebile.
Thank you so much.
It's been amazing having you here. I have a couple of questions before we conclude our conversation tonight. First of all, how does one survive in this industry? You've been here for 11 and more years. How does one survive?
What a difficult question. Yo, I hope my fellow artists won't look at me like, oh, you. Well, I keep repeating the fact that I was fortunate to have Outreach Foundation. I still go back to that, but it's not easy to... Yo, I've seen a lot of good artists fall out of art, a lot of talent falling out of art. But you need to understand your niche and your art and what is different about you. You need to find a way to understand your approach, understand you, and what you are giving into the arts. You know, and it's good to here's another thing, my fellow artists, it's good to be together and work together, and but find, because other artists, they now follow certain people. Now I need to be like, oh, I feel like I like this approach of this person, and then you now follow that approach, and then you don't really understand yourself, and then you get lost in someone's journey because you don't know that person's journey. Find your own journey. Find your own space. Breathe by yourself, you know?
I think them knowing that there is room for them and what there is unique, what I like is that you draw from your own personal experience. You draw from your own walk of life. You're not trying to be somebody else, which I think that's where creativity starts.
Not just trying to be somebody else, but also trying to move with a certain movement or with a certain, you know, trying to feel... to fit in. I don't want to find myself trying to fit in. I want my work to be the one that makes me, I don't want to use fit in, but my work be the one that speaks to me, to the industry, and says, this is the person, you know, as opposed to me trying to fit in and trying to make people understand me. The work will make people to understand me, and I'll go with people that are understanding my journey. I don't want to find myself having to force myself into a space. No, I want my work to speak for me. And it's not about being pompous as a person. It's just about understanding and knowing yourself and knowing your grounds and where you stand. You know, I'm generally a non-bus person.
Well, so I know that
I have to make my craft very, you know, very known and loud. Yeah.
I like that. So what advice would you give to young people who want to get into this industry?
Find yourself as a person. Nice.
Before you want people to buy into you, know what they're buying into. I like that.
Find yourself. Don't try to be someone else. Okay. Be yourself. Be you. Leave you. People are going to love you for you, and some people are going to hate you for you, but don't mind. Just find you and be content about you, not about other things.
Wow. You know? So to our listeners, what advice would you like to give them that you've learned over the years and you like them to know?
When the right time for something has come, it has come, listeners. And I would like our listeners to really go back into arts and appreciate arts in all its spheres. I would like them to pay attention to arts, to understand arts, and for people to appreciate arts as well in all type of ways, because there's a certain element where we feel as artists that actually there's a lack of appreciation and understanding. It goes to someone selling a beautiful painting for 10 for 500 rand, and you're like, no, I only have 100 rand, or yeah, I only have 50 rand. Mm. It's just a simple example of, please, can, like, let's go out there and see how much work artists put.
Mm-hmm. Just support our own
people, exactly, to understand their own stories and their own journeys. Mm. Yeah,
nice. So what's next for you, Tebile?
So finishing my master's is the biggest thing on the charts.
The best with the exams.
Oh my god. And then I'm looking at opening my own organization.
Yes, finally.
So I've been working with also disabled people, persons. I've been working with a rounded community. Hey, a lot of things. And I'm looking at opening my own organization that's going to speak back to community, speak back to stories of community, and how we can bring in the marginalized in our communities into the world as large. Nice. So definitely having a strong background of arts.
Nice.
I wouldn't want to sell everything out there, but yeah, I'm pushing my own thing.
That's good.
Finding my own niche. Yes. Mm.
Yes. All the best with that. How can our listeners get hold of you?
So you can find me on Facebook, which is Tebile Philiso Dlamini. Starts with the G, Tebile GCEBILE. And on Instagram, I'm Dlamini Tebile. And also on Twitter, Dlamini Tebile. And Tebile Dlamini on TikTok. Mm. And yes,
yeah, they better check TikTok, because hilarious. And I saw people sharing, resharing your videos. I was like, yes, it means everybody's is like loving what you're doing. Yes.
Oh, thank you so much, South Africa. And also, hey, watch Skim Sam. I will be back.
Yes, soon. I can't wait to see you back on screen. We've missed you.
Thank you.
So to our listeners, also you can get hold of me on Facebook, Betu Sidishiba Mabusha, on Instagram and Twitter, Betu Baby. I'll also post a poster. You'll get Tebile's details on it. Tebile, it's been a pleasure to catch up.
Thank you so much, Betu.
I am proud of what you have accomplished over the years, you know.
I'm proud of lifting my Swazi flag up high.
Yes,
that's one of the things that I think of every time I do work. I'm like, for my Swazi people, we can do this.
Yes. No, thank you so much, Tebile. And to our listeners, we will catch us next.
Ordinary people doing extraordinary things.
To educate, to build, to inspire, to motivate.
It's coping with constant change in a technology-driven world. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, with Betu Sileshi. With Betu Sileshi. With Betu Sileshi.
Hey, Welinda, hey, Welinda, hey, ungazingo so dlalangam, ungazingo so dlalangam, hey, hey, ndaku biza, hey, wati hi hi, ndaku komba, wati nodi ngawe, ndati mna, titela sbuyela nde, wati wena, suhlupa hlupa name. Dago biza, hey, wati hi hi, dago kumba, wati noni gawe, dati umna, titela sbuye lande, wati wena, suhlupa hlupa name, hey, welinda, pagute, welinda, pa unga singo so shalangam, we, pa unga singo so shalangam, hey, 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 wesibu, pagute, Wesibu, eh, pa, unga singo so shalangam, unga singo so.
Wow, that beautiful voice, our listeners, is Mpumelelo Mayekiso. He is an artist and a project manager. He's got a beautiful voice. Tonight he's joining us on our show. Good evening. This is our show Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow with your host, Betusile Shiba. Tonight we're looking at music. Music helps us fall in love. Music is at the heart of the things we do. But on top of you looking at music, we're looking at how technology has transformed music in the past year due to COVID. So Mpumelelo is going to be having a good conversation with us. Mpumelelo, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for the time and the opportunity to talk to you. It's been a minute, eh?
It's been a minute. Good to see you. Good to talk to you.
You are unbelievable.
Welcome to our show. And I'm sure our listeners enjoyed that brief. You've got so much talent. Why have people not heard your voice? Why are you hiding
this? I think it's a combination of a number of things. I think the first thing will be, I've been away for some time because I've been focusing on growing as a project manager, like you mentioned in the beginning, that Mpumelelo is a project manager and also pursuing a career in music as a solo artist. So I took the time, I allocated a huge amount of time to just focus on project management. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason why I've been away from the scene.
I'm glad you're coming back. So tell us, how is the music industry in South Africa in your own experience?
I think you know, like the SA scene has been localized a lot. Mm-hmm. So SA, it's like its own world, you know, everything that they do, it should be us. They don't want to think more globally. You know, when it comes to any form of a value that you create, that you are about to actually supply to those who can consume that value, mm-hmm. you see, so you need to think globally. So now we see now, I mean, with the new generation right now, like people are beginning to actually expose themselves to, you know, places beyond the boundaries of this country. Mm-hmm. So the scene has been that in particular, and people tend to follow a lot of trends in SA, local trends. As a result, we tend to sound the same.
Yes.
So that's more like to me the disadvantage. But the advantage is these guys, what I'm picking up is that, you know, they are hungry, you know, like the hunger is there, you know. You're not gonna walk around in SA and not be able to find talent, you know,
yeah.
or someone who is experimenting or starting with whatever it is that they're doing musically. Well, there's just too many of us out there. Yeah. So that's the beautiful thing.
I think there's so much untapped talent in South Africa, and we get to hear the same voices over and over again due to the trends that are happening, which I think is a disadvantage. Some of us enjoy music that is unheard of, enjoy new voices every day. We don't want the overdose. It's too much for us. So what would you say are the barrier of entry into the industry? I know you've cited some few disadvantages, but what is it that makes it impossible for young artists or new artists, upcoming artists, to make it or to be heard in the South African industry?
I think right now, to be honest with you, I might sound a bit too optimistic, you know. Mm-hmm. I see none, you know, whatsoever, because this is the age of the internet, man. I mean,
there's true, that's true.
Yeah, there's just too many platforms that, like, you know, that opens your talent to like a huge market, you know. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. yeah, like unlike, you know, pre, like, you know, the internet, where you had to go through a specific promoter for them to put you on a gig. Mm-hmm. And also for you to be able to get your work out there, you need to be signed by a record label. That
yeah.
takes a lot of energy. So during that time, it was more like that whole admin, you had to go through it. And then that's only when people start hearing your music. So, but like yeah. today, it's good, man.
I like that yeah. because it means you can be a YouTube star in a minute. And once you trend, yeah. that's it. But you need to be top of the topics. And it it becomes challenging to be at the top of the list to be trending. But I like that you are correct. There's so much room for young artists to be heard. It's no more strict as it used to be, which is where technology has played a greater impact, which we'll discuss that later on. But I want to hear from you. You are taking vocal lessons. Why does one need them?
One actually needs them for the confidence, I think, because we lack a lot of confidence, especially when it comes to, like, you know, performing on stage. Mm-hmm. You know, you can sing in your own, shower and be, like, you know, comfortable and be confident about your singing. And then when you have to hit the stage, suddenly, you know, you are afraid and you're uncomfortable. So the